This is the Team Builders Podcast, building better teams.
It would be talking about trust, growth, improving communication so that we can combat some of those things that companies come to us with and say, these are the particular things that we really want to focus on.
This is the Team Builders Podcast with Stephen Haseley, Jerry Crowley and Jonathan Haseley.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Team Builders Podcast. This is the podcast where we love to talk and give you some insights into what we think makes a great team. When I say we, I'm of course talking about myself, Jonathan, and my two co-directors, Jerry and Stephen from Team Challenge Company. Gents, how are we today?
Great, Jonathan. In fine form. Have we got time for a quick story?
Always time for your stories, Jerry.
It's always athletic based. Woke up Wednesday, 2 weeks ago, 17-year-old son said, "Dad, can you play badminton?"
The sweat did not break on you, mate.
I tried to pretend I didn't know how to play. Booked the court. Boom, what a game. He's now an expert in badminton. Or I'm a better player.
Yes, 1995 world champion.
Yeah, and it would be wrong of me if I didn't mention protein during it. So yeah, I had a shake before and after. That's how it went that day.
Nice. Okay, we won't ask about anything else. Folks, if we can get this somewhat back on track for today's episode. Today, I would love to talk about something I was considering there when I was thinking about some of what our clients contact us for and whenever they're planning their events. And really, it's a pretty broad question, but hopefully one that we can get to the answer of. What kind of specific outcomes do you think that leaders should be considering whenever they plan their team building get-togethers, you know, events, sessions, conferences? I certainly have some thoughts, but love to hear from you boys. Jerry, I'm throwing it straight to you. Where do you think we would start?
First of all, I think you need to know where you're going and what you want to achieve from it. So you need to step out of the actual planning of the day, the organising of what you want. Don't work backwards. Decide where you want to physically or mentally too, but where you want it to land for your people. I think too often, too much is tried to be achieved in one day at a conference, perhaps. And try to cover all angles. So I think decide which area you want to focus on for the entire team, what your goals are perhaps for the year, if it's a year start kickoff, what the achievement goals could be. To drill down more into it, I guess, if you wanted to discuss one area of your business with that specific team, whether it be how the operation works, where the processes need refined, just big picture stuff and how you can focus on that. And then other wee areas could be perhaps expansion of the business, how you want to go about that, what people you need for that. Just don't think about how you can do a good team building day.
I think.
I think that's probably the biggest, wouldn't call it a mistake as such, just overthinking it too early.
Yes, really get back to the roots of what you're all about as a business and then see how we can, you know, fit through the thing.
Because if it's strategy, you can't just pick a part out of the strategy. You have to build the strategy first and then focus on the area that would get the most benefit from your time together.
Yeah, nice. Like it, Stephen, anything to, you know, enhance that perhaps?
I think when companies work with us, regardless of their background, whether they're in retail or computers, IT, et cetera, they think they have a challenge. I wouldn't say problem, but a challenge or a perceived challenge. And I think we do exactly what we say on our shirts, building better teams. And they would come to us and talk about how we could work with them to be able to deliver a message for their audience, whether that's in an hour, 2 hours or over weeks or years potentially. And so that, again, we try to fit in with their vision and their values so that whatever we do and drill down, as Jerry has said, to solve some of those challenges, we can deliver something that runs in tandem with what they've been doing over the previous weeks, months, years, et cetera, So they're already a good team when they come to us. We just want to help them focus on some other things, as we talked about in other podcasts, marginal gains during the time that we spend with them.
And what kind of challenges do you often see that some of our organisers and some of the people that are planning their events come to us with?
I think many teams, especially now in today's sort of global marketplace, they've got geographic challenges of clients, customers and staff around the world. Maybe communication differences with time differences and also cultural differences and language differences and barriers. So it's really trying to bring those people together cohesively, either virtually or in the real life situation, so that they can really feel part of that team, part of that bonding and feel loved. And I use the word loved because that's how we want them to feel, engage in their hearts and minds, and that the company is really taking care of them, not just as an employee, but as a person as well.
To sum it up in that way, a lack of collaboration between the different teams. Quite often teams have got good collaboration, but when they have to work with other teams within the business, that collaboration seems to fall down. And some people label that, you know, silo, but for the layperson, it's just trying to connect two different units that work on two separate things that need to collaborate together. And that can either lead to poor planning, lack of communication, poor communication. And like Stephen mentioned there, you spread that over a geographical area, you probably do have a problem and not a challenge.
Yeah, yeah, that's a fair point.
And then if you can turn that problem into a challenge, you're on your way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes businesses recognise, or we recognise, that businesses need practically different departments or different areas or different offices to achieve different things. I think when people talk about silo mentality, they worry that it's all about getting everyone to be on board with everything all of the time. It's not that. It's just getting everyone on board with that common goal and understanding how your efforts, behaviour, values impact on the overall delivery for everything for the business, not just, you know, I have to do really well in my department and then hopefully everything else works out. That makes sense.
And quite often people talk about silos as a bad thing, but here's something. One silo could be flying.
Yes.
And the reason that you want to collaborate with the other teams is to share the experiences that are going well and to combat slow performance by cutting out what's not going well through experience. The business has already had that experience. And I think more of a positive should be put on that word rather than people seeing this as a negative, because it's the barrier between the two that's the problem, not the fact that you have an elite group of people who are leading your department or your shell. It's the sharing of that.
The most successful teams I think we've worked with have realised that the competition isn't in that room, isn't in their organisation, it's out with their organisation. It is their customer's choice to go with them or someone else, a competitor. And so therefore, it doesn't matter, as Jay says, if someone is a superstar in the finance department or marketing or sales. It's the cohesion between them all, so that's a win-win situation for that company, regardless of how it's branded, where it's based, how many employees, etc., etc. It's that team effort and that focus on the vision of where the company is going to go and how they're going to get there that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Stephen, and to maybe bring yours and my point together to maybe get some insight from Jonathan here. If you have the big picture of what you're looking to achieve and you know you're going to use a team building session in it, what can be achieved through team building in that specific area for that business?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, I think, and I know we've talked about this before, but you know, we really do put our emphasis on listening to the learning outcomes and then delivering sessions that, you know, really hit those marks. So let's say we've already covered that the business wants the strategy. Let's say we've covered the type of challenges and the learning outcomes that they have. You know, now we're at a point where, okay, how do we, you know, get that over the line for them? So the types of things that our gamified sessions would focus on would be around, you know, enhancing collaboration and cooperation across silos. It would be talking about trust, leadership, growth, improving communication, feedback skills across the board, so that we can combat some of those things that the companies come to us with and say, these are the particular things that we really want to focus on. And I think a lot of our gamified options that we would choose to suit that particular client would hit those marks. And again, really focus on, you know, developing problem solving skills, or thinking about maybe people being a bit more creative, or maybe being a bit more analytical. All of those kind of tools really work.
Jonathan, one of the questions that comes up regularly and has done for many, many years is, do we do our team building session on site within our four walls, or do we go off-site? What would be your thoughts on that?
Again, you know, it really does depend on what they want to achieve. I personally like whenever people come away from the working environment for a short while and allow them to understand that, you know, it's different. They can do something a little bit unique and, you know, not be focused within their office walls. Obviously, lots of organisations have practical challenges, and so we are able to work with them within their office walls if they need. But I personally like the idea whenever we can kind of come away from the workplace and talk about bringing it back to the workplace.
Yeah, and I'm going to just jump in quickly, Stephen, just so we don't forget what you mentioned, because through what you said there, there's going to be outcomes from it. And what benefits are those? So you can then deal with conflict.
Yeah.
You know, you can improve decision making through doing a collaborative exercise or experience. So I think if, to reel it right back to the very first question you asked, if the person who's looking to see why you need to do it, if they can see the goals and drill that all the way down to the outcome that's needed, that will guarantee success. And then whether it be what Stephen mentioned there, having it indoors, what they want, you can then pretty much design your day for those outcomes with the added benefit for the business, because you already knew why you wanted it.
Yes, absolutely.
And even in our conversation, you can see how those lines can get blurred. So having somebody who you can refer back to when you are organising it to check in with, that will help give clear, definitive outcome benefit. There are different things in our eyes, maybe not in some businesses' eyes, but there are different things.
And I think it's something that we focus on for our customers. I know it's a big thing that we like to talk about with our team, to really help them trickle down through those steps and allow them to understand what they want to achieve. And listen, sometimes people just want to achieve having a fun day. Absolutely. And that's all good. But there are lots of people that we work with that want to achieve something very specific, and we help them understand that, and we help them understand how what we're going to do with them that day is going to bring that outcome. And then most importantly, as we've said, you know, numerous times before, I think the big key thing is how we then relate that back into the workplace. Yeah. Yes, we've done something fun, we've done something different, gamified, experiential. How can we take the learnings and bring that back to the workplace?
And I think if that's part of their strategy, then they certainly can plan and prepare for it on a longer term basis and make sure people are prepared and ready for it. And also, one of our challenges as time goes on is to try and top what we did last year for them. And we have so far been hugely successful at doing that, topping last year's performance.
It can be as simple as our goal is to have fun.
Yeah.
And the benefit will be improved morale, and the outcome will be happier people for at least a couple of weeks.
Love it. Yeah, exactly.
And we can't hit them again.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, that really sums it up perfectly well there, the three steps of that, you know, high level strategy, understanding what your challenges are, understanding what outcomes you want to get, and then what that brings back into workplace. Those are kind of four little ladders of success when it comes to thinking about what kind of outcomes leaders should really focus on for when they go and plan their team building session.
Yeah.
Gents, I think we nailed it. Pretty short, but hopefully we got it all in there. I'm sure we've had a good time this time around. So Stephen, Jerry, we'll be looking forward to the next time that we hear more protein shake news from you, Jerry.
Yes, and if you missed the start of the podcast, rewind back, because I'm going to end on the word, I'm off to buy a shuttlecock.
It's a winner. Folks, thanks so much this time for the Team Builders podcast. I look forward to all seeing you on the next episode.
Thanks,
Jonathan.
Thank you.
Thank you.